We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Another episode of the Dino Talk Podcast.
Boom. The Dino Talk gang is back. And today, we do not have Jesse, and we have another guest. And today, it's Kevin. Kevin, you'd like to say some starting words here?
Hello. I'm Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Sorry to put you on the spot there. But, yeah. We just finished week one. We're filming this during the Thursday night football of week two. And yeah, a lot happened in week one. And of course, we got to start it off talking about the Bears because that's what we always do, overreact about the Bears. We don't have Justin Fields to overreact to anymore, but now we have Caleb Williams. And I don't know if you guys disagree, but he was kind of bad this week. He didn't have a great rookie year. And yeah, he was missing guys all over the field, wasn't on the same page as DJ Moore. DeAndre Swift was running into the back of linemen like he typically does. Yeah, just wasn't great for the Bears. And the Vikings started off horrible for three quarters and finished it off really good, especially for a rookie, or I guess not rookie, second-year guy, but his first career start. JJ McCarthy, pretty impressive. Yeah, what do you guys think? About the Bears, about week one.
Yeah, I was going to say I can hop into this directly here because I feel like there are some positive and negatives hopping into the week one of the Bears matchup. Obviously, after watching Justin Fields be the quarterback for so long, I felt like I gained a better ability to assess a quarterback and their weaknesses. Justin Fields held on to the ball too long. He wasn't able to, you know, read the field, figure out where to get the ball. Something that's becoming more concerning with me, obviously, Caleb Williams came out of the college. He had the generational tag put on his name because his ability to make plays on the field. One issue that's been reoccurring over his first two seasons, I know it's only week one, he has some very inaccurate throws, and I think that's very concerning. He missed some slants, some out routes, wide open DJ Moore, which is controversial now that me and Nick have talked about it later in the game. But honestly, those slant misses, just like small misses, dink dunk passes, middle of the field or out routes, stuff like that was concerning. I don't know if it was just like week one, Ben Johnson, first year head coach for the Bears kind of mishaps. I don't know if that's to blame. But more positives, I thought, was Caleb Williams had a great ability to read the pocket that I didn't think he had last year. His lateral movement going up and down the pocket, reading his pressure, I thought was a lot better from last year. Obviously, he was on pace to break the sack record last year. It was horrible watching him try to make plays. He just like could not get it done with the amount of sacks he had. But I thought he looked a lot more athletic in the pocket and could read pressure. Another positive, I thought the linemen did a better job this year than last year, just doing pass blocking. But onto the concerns, run game non-existent. I thought their run blocking sucked. They were running a lot of two tight end formations, and it just like was not getting the job done. But I definitely thought that like just Caleb Williams' mobility, his ability to run, I thought was a overall positive. But you know, the Vikings bested them in the second half, and the Bears went completely stale, and that really sucked to see. So that's what I was thinking about that game.
Yeah, I got to say, I agree. I think Caleb Williams looked really, really good in the first half, looked like he could make some plays, but then second half just fell apart. So I don't know if that's necessarily all on Caleb Williams. Usually whenever you see a whole team kind of fall apart, it could be maybe more on the new coach. Obviously, the coach is a really good offensive-minded coach because he was on the Lions. But I think maybe the coaching needs to do some adjustments at halftime that the Vikings did that the Bears may not have.
Yeah, I was going to say to add on to that, Kevin, I think you're touching on to something great here because I think that the Vikings learned that they did not have a good passing or running game in the first half. Second half, they finally got their run game established, and it kind of opened up JJ McCarthy to absolutely start feeling comfortable in the pocket, and I thought that helped him out a lot.
Yeah, and that can kind of show like the difference because Kevin O'Connell's been around for a little bit, and then Ben Johnson's the first year head coach, so there's definitely some experience over him.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the one thing about the Bears that has me, so like we can first start this off. We're gonna do buy, sell, holds and give out tags. I think I like the idea that Caleb Williams is just a bust. Like I'm selling that idea. Like I'm not that worried about it because the thing about the Bears is it's week one. They had no run game, and I'm a little bit skeptical that they're ever gonna get a great run game with DeAndre Swift, but I mean, they have Kyle Manungai, the rookie, and I think they could trade for one to help out this run game. And also, when it comes to the wide receivers, DJ Moore was used a lot, but I kind of think DJ Moore just sucks as a route runner. Like, that's one thing that I've came around to that I just think he just is not for a timing-based offense that Ben Johnson wants to run. Like, DJ Moore's just got to get better as a route runner, and he can't change his routes for a young quarterback like the way that he does. And also, if DJ Moore doesn't cut it, they have Luther Burden, who's a rookie, who's very talented, and they have Colson Loveland, who's a rookie and pretty talented, and Rome Odunze could break out. I think if DJ Moore doesn't work out, if some of these other guys that are starting don't work out, like they have other options. Like I think this offense has a lot of possibilities to where I'm not buying the idea that this team is just bad. Like I think their offense could be okay.
Yeah, one thing that I was going to ask you, because I think I'm starting to subscribe to this mentality with DJ Moore and his route running ability, but was there ever a reason given to why DJ Moore is taking snaps out of the backfield? Do you know why that is?
I think they're just trying to get him to be Debo Samuel. Like, I really think I mean, he's really good, like, as a yak player. And I think they're just trying to take advantage of that out of the backfield. And they also don't have that many running backs. Like, Roschon Johnson is, like, MIA. I think he's a pretty clear bust. And they don't really have any, like, they have a seventh round rookie who they're trotting out there. They don't really have any other running backs. And DJ Moore is a guy that isn't a super route runner to where it would make sense to use him out of the backfield. To where I think that's why they're trying to do it, but if they're going to do this idea, why not just go more into it? I don't
Go
know.
more into it. I see what you're saying there. Yeah, because that's what I think you're alluding to. DJ Moore is a really good player when he has the ball in his hands, and I just think that there's a disconnect with his route running right now to get that ball in his hands. And obviously, Caleb Williams, we mentioned it earlier, he's having some inaccuracy issues, but it's like when DJ Moore gets the ball in his hands, I think he's a great player. It's just you got to get it there somehow. And I don't know if that's the reason why they're just relying on him out of the backfield, but I agree with you on Caleb Williams though. I'm holding, buying if it's low. Like I don't know why anyone would want to sell Caleb Williams for low, but no, I completely agree. I think the Bears offense with Caleb Williams is not a bust, and I think he's developing into a pretty good player. We'll see what happens.
I'm sorry to keep harping on this, but where are we at with Rome Odunze? I'm worried about him
He's
right now.
an interesting player. That's all I got to say. I don't know what he's at. He's just out there on the field
I
right
think
now.
I think I'm more worried about Rome than I am Caleb.
What did he even do the last game? What do you have, like one catch, a couple
He had like four catches. He had one
some
play out of structure, and he had that 1 yard touchdown. Towards fantasy day was okay, but I think they need to be better for
Oh
some.
yeah, he went 6 for 37 in the touchdown. Am I crazy to just think he's like a zone filler? Does he run routes good enough to be open? But like
I don't think so.
if it's a mismanaged play, he fills the spot. I don't know. I gotta watch him closer, but that's just how he felt to me. If it's Caleb just trying to make a game shot play, like Rome was just there filling a gap in a zone or something.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway from the Bears is I'm buying Colson Loveland and Luther Burden because I think their time's going to come. I really do.
Well, so the craziest thing about me watching the offensive snaps for the Bears is how much they were using the two tight end set, and Loveland was just out there on the field. And I think that's a promising factor. If it's not a run play all the time, he's still out there for passing plays as well. Like, he has a chance.
Yeah, and they had ones that Caleb missed where it looked like Ben Johnson was the most frustrated, was design plays to get the ball to Colson Loveland. Like, I think Ben Johnson really wants this guy to get the ball. Like, I think his role is going to grow quite a bit throughout this year. And I'm not out on the idea that he's going to be a top five guy, like my early prediction. Like, I think his role is going to really grow.
Yeah, I think Ben Johnson really knows how to use a tight end. Like you saw Sam Laporta on the Lions, so like he knows how to use them. It's just if Caleb Williams can hit him when he's open.
That might be the
Yeah.
big thing.
I think the biggest thing about the Bears offense before I don't want to talk about it for too much longer, but the biggest thing with Ben Johnson is if he can get a successful running game, everything else works, cogs in the machine. That's why Gibbs Montgomery was so successful, because once he got the running game going, everything else was just too easy. And so, like, if the Bears can get a semblance of any running game, they are going to be lethal. But we'll see if they can adjust week two. I'm excited to see what they do. I hope it's not a painful watch. I kind of had a feeling they were going to throw that game against the Vikings, and it was painful. So I don't know. I'm hoping for week two resurgence of their offense. So.
Yeah, no, that's fair. We can transition now to the buy, sell, hold portion of the podcast. And I'll go ahead and start us off here just because I have a little transition. I am not buying the idea that Bryce Young is going to turn around this Panthers offense. I'm really worried about Bryce Young. You guys buying that idea? You think he's going to be good? Like it's
Do
year
you have
three.
shares of him?
I do.
Would you What are you willing to sell him for? And
I
would
was
you sell him or holding him? What are you thinking?
asking myself this week, like I was thinking about sending trade offers, but then I was like, is that selling too low? Because I still think he could have some decent weeks, but I'm concerned. Like I'm pretty concerned.
At this point, we have a shared league, Nick, where we have Bryce Young. At this point, I think you got to hold him. I think you got to say your prayers or something, because he is not anything near what he was supposed to be out of college, and he showed flashes of it at the end of last season. But what he showed in this first week was, I thought, a little concerning. So, go ahead, Nick.
If you got offered Brandon Ayuk for Bryce Young, are you selling him? In a super flex league, let me add.
What is your quarterback scenario?
He's a backup. Like
Yes.
he's actually third or fourth string. Like I have a third guy.
Yes. I think so. Without even looking at a trade calculator, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Kevin, where are you at with Bryce?
I mean, if you could sell him, I would sell him. Like, I think he's kind of a lost cause. They've done a good job getting him some weapons in the draft. It was only one game, so maybe wait one more game, but I would try to sell him as quickly as I could if anybody would be willing to take him. Because he also has that negative stigma around him, so people don't want him, and so it might be hard to sell him. So if somebody's willing to buy it, sell him.
Yeah, I was gonna say, best case scenario, he builds this unreal chemistry with Tet McMillan, and they're balling out for 100+ yards a game. But I mean, he definitely tried that week one, and I mean, Jaguars defense, can be a little taxing, but yeah, I might just hold him. I hate to think I'm more of a Bryce Young believer than most, but at this point, I think I might hold him instead of selling him. Just because I believe in him a little bit, but they just keep bringing in more offensive pieces. And poor Leggett, I don't think he's the guy, but I think Tet is definitely the guy this year. So
Yeah, I think he's
that's
the guy.
probably that's probably where I'm at. Where him and Leggett, or not him and Leggett, him and McMillan just start piecing up the league. And then you got to get Jalen Coker back.
Yeah, them getting rid of Thielen was a little bit puzzling. Like, I get it. He wants to go back to Minnesota, but Bryce needed him, I think.
Need
Yeah,
that
he was a
veteran.
he was a veteran safe option, and you need one of those on every team.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Yeah, go ahead
but
and go with your first one here.
yeah, I can go into my first one here. I think Justin Herbert. I thought I have been a Justin Herbert believer since the beginning. I thought he had an amazing rookie year. Some horrible coaching at the time. Nick witnessed the Jaguars versus Chargers playoff game firsthand with me, and watch me suffer through it. And I finally think Justin Herbert has coaching and receivers talent around him to actually enable his passing stats to be more consistent. And I know Jim Harbaugh has been known to be a run-heavy offense kind of guy, but I think Jim Harbaugh knows when he has a great quarterback and great weapons and when to use them. And I think that Justin Herbert is the ultimate buy slash hold this year. If you don't already have him, like, this is the year to get him because he is going to be going nuclear, I think, this season. I know me and Jesse criticize Nick heavily with the addition of Keenan Allen, but having a chemistry of one of his old receivers, a little staple on the offense, I'll give Nick props. I think that he has a safe haven in Keenan Allen on the team, but he has young talent in Ladd McConkey, potentially Quentin Johnson, and now he has Omarion Hampton on his team as well. So he has so many weapons around him. And they even brought in like Tyler Conklin. He has like too many faces to target around the field nowadays that I think he is in a great spot passing that
He
he's
didn't
going to
look
be.
good.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I
He
thought he
always
was
looks
good.
good. He did. And I know me and Jesse gave you a hard time. Jesse took a bet against you, but Keenan, he doesn't have two steps on a guy, but he has a step. So good on them. I think this is Justin Herbert season all over again.
I agree with you on that one. I think you, like you said, he has a lot of weapons and just like Harbaugh, everybody did think it was run first, but Herbert threw it for 34 times compared to 16 runs, roughly. I don't know the exact number. I'm pretty sure it was around 16. And so it's like almost double the amount of running attempts that he passed for. So I think Herbert is just going to be slinging it all season.
Another thing too is Trey Harris wasn't even really involved in the offense. They just drafted the guy. There's another weapon to be involved there.
Yeah.
So like they got more and more. You haven't even seen all of them. So
KLS looked really good in the preseason, so that's another one that he can throw to.
that's true. True.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying this take. I was impressed with their offense, especially Greg Roman. Like, he's n known for being a run first guy. Like, they ran him out of Baltimore, and like, geez, if he could do this, like, what? Yeah,
No, that's what I was saying too. It's like they just got a rookie running back. They got Najee Harris. I was expecting to see three runs and then, they're punting the ball or something. But then they absolutely shocked me with how efficient they were on the passing offense. It was crazy.
And I'm skeptical about how good their defense is going to be this year. To where I think they might just, maybe Jim's going to be like, hey, just we got to throw the ball. We got to use this unicorn quarterback. Yeah,
Light them up, Jim.
I underestimated Herbert for this year. I'm going to be paying the price for it now. But yeah, I like that take.
All right, Kevin, you got to take tied with the Chargers offense at all here?
QJ had an outstanding game last week. That being said, I do not think he can keep this up. Like you said, there's so many weapons out there. It's going to be hard to pinpoint each week who is going to be the person of the week. So my take is I don't think QJ is going to be able to keep up the stat line or even come close to it for majority of the season. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, I feel like my take with QJ is I don't think he's close to as bad as like the public perception of him was going into this year. Like everyone just think, oh, he drops balls, like he's gonna be out of the league in a year. But like he's so good after the catch. He's pretty electric with the ball in his hands. Like I don't think he's ever gonna be like phased out of the NFL just with the way that he plays. I agree that I don't think he's gonna keep up to the level that he did last week, and it's gonna be tough to rely on him and like pick your lineup leagues. Like I think best ball, like I think QJ's great for that. Like I'd be all over him in that format. But yeah, where you have to set your lineup, like it's gonna be tough, I think, to feel comfortable putting him in your lineup on a competitive team. So yeah, I might agree with that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I feel like this is a great week one overreaction. I thought he was insane out there. He caught everything coming his way. What do you have? Two touchdowns? Was that what it was?
Yeah, he had
Two
two of them.
touchdowns as well. Great way to inflate someone's fantasy value. If you could trade him right now, I think you could buy him later in the season for a lot lower. Not a lot lower, but you could buy him lower later in the season. I think he's an interesting fantasy prospect. I definitely think he's been developing in the right direction. I don't think he is the value of what he was drafted at. Maybe he is now with what game he just had, but I think with people like Ladd and Keenan around him, there's plenty of throws to go around, and I don't think he's going to perform at this level consistently. And I think that right now is a good time to sell him for something good. And I think you can pick him up later and get him for a good price. I think he's good. He's just not there yet. And that's how I view him. So
I agree. But I can go ahead to my next one here. I'm kind of worried about Caleb Johnson being a thing this year. And I understand rookie running backs can take time. And I think it will take time with him. I'm just like, I know on the recent podcast, we had a prediction that he's going to be a top 12 running back this year. I'm pretty out on that this year. Like, I'm pretty confident in that. I think the idea that he fumbled once. And he got one carry. Like Mike Tomlin puts some guys in the doghouse. Like Roman Wilson, I think he got upset with him early in last year and he played like in two games, maybe. I'm just a little concerned that Kenneth Gainwell is playing over him. And I mean, Warren, it was expected, but for a redraft league, I'm kind of concerned having Caleb Johnson. Like, as I think going into the year, I was thinking he could be a guy that. Week 7, week 8, like you could feel confident playing him, but I'm kind of a little bit nervous about that, and I hope I'm wrong. What do you guys think about that?
yeah, I completely agree. I think him being in third in the depth chart, very concerning, especially with Kenneth Gainwell in front of him. He's a big hold candidate, in my opinion. Maybe buy if people are selling low.
Yeah, long term, I'm okay, but I think in the short term is where I'm nervous.
Yeah, and I think that hopefully if you drafted him in Dynasty, it was, obviously late first round. So hopefully you weren't dependent on a running back to instantly step in, because like comparing him to like RJ Harvey right now is shocking. I thought RJ Harvey showed out and Caleb Johnson didn't get like anything. So yeah, I'm pretty worried about him right now, but maybe ask me again at week five, and we'll see where it is. So well, plus like also. Steelers passing offense looked way better than I ever thought it would in my wildest dreams. Like Aaron Rodgers completely showed out. So good on them, week one.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, well, Logie, go ahead with your next one here.
All right. So my second one here is Hollywood Brown for the Chiefs. I think that an unfortunate hit to Xavier Worthy via Travis Kelce inserted Hollywood Brown into the PPR discussions. It's not even about how many yards Hollywood Brown is going to get. It's more of a he's a reliable receiver that he might start racking up the catches before everyone is back to healthy, off their suspensions, stuff like that. I think Hollywood Brown is a riser. It's going to be hard to buy him reasonably now. If you have him, you hold him. Maybe you sell him for a good price. But if I'm you, I'm holding him for the next couple weeks because Patrick Mahomes knows what receivers are out there. Travis Kelce's been kind of weird, not high volume week one. And I think Hollywood Brown is just going to receive insane amounts of targets in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like he had 16 targets in that first week. I think you hold him for like 2 weeks and then you sell him whenever he's like at the all-time high, because Rice is coming back here soon. I think it's a 6-week, 6-game suspension, so he's got 5 games left. So if you can hold him for a couple more games and then sell him right before Rice comes back, I think you nailed it right there.
I think it
Yeah,
depends on how long Xavier Worthy's out. Like, if he just misses one game, he might be a sell for me. Like, I don't know. Also, if Xavier Worthy is out, like, I don't think the Chiefs can just sit on their hands. Like, if Xavier Worthy goes on IR, I don't think they can sit on their hands with their current receiving core. Because you're going to be out of the playoff hunt. Because I just think you're going to have such small room for error late in the year. Like I think Tyreek Hill should be an option for them. Like I really would trade for him if I were them. Like
is
I think you can
Tyreek
get him
Hill
cheaper.
cleared though?
I mean,
Like,
that could be the
because
issue.
did he recently get back into, or was that just like a lingering case with domestic, was it domestic violence?
Yeah, I think it was a new one. Yeah, that could be
Was
the
that new?
issue.
Okay,
Yes.
that was my biggest concern, because like obviously I've been seeing that the Dolphins could hint with Tyreek Hill being traded, but then I saw that new one come out maybe this past week, I think. Which scares me a little bit. And then obviously, like Juju Smith-Schuster, I thought showed up a lot in the last game, which was wild to me. I forgot that he was a productive receiver.
Yeah, but I mean, if they don't have anybody else, I think he's a solid start in the meantime.
Yeah, start and sell. I'm with Kevin. I have him, and I need to sell him soon, I think, because I had a horrible trade about a year ago, and I need to recoup my losses.
That's definitely fair. All right, Kevin, you can fire off your next one.
I was going to, for the next one, I was just going to talk about like the rookies, the two big rookie running backs, Hampton and Ginty. I think they both had kind of mid games, not terrible, but not great either. So for them, I'm just kind of like, what do you do with them? And I would just hold on to them for now, because I do think they're both going to bounce back, maybe not next game, but in a few games at least, because they just need time to kind of figure out how the NFL works. And so for me, I'm going to hold on to those two big names that came out this year. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I'm definitely holding on to those guys. They're rookies. They're gonna have some rough games early. I think Genty's gonna be fine. I think Campton's gonna be fine as well. I mean, I feel like the Najee factor kind of is a little bit iffy for them. And if they all of a sudden are a major passing offense, like I feel like some of the big allure with Hampton is that he's in a Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman offense. And he's just going to be their bell cow guy, to where if they're suddenly a passing offense, like I do think that kind of lowers his value at least to some extent. But I think he's still going to be okay though. Like he's a good player. Just had a rough week.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I felt like the Raiders' passing offense was probably a little bit more successful than they also thought. But and Genty first week, obviously he's gonna have a scare. He's a rookie. I was trying to find there was someone talking about trades in one of our leagues, Nick, that I swear involved Hampton. I was trying to find it last second here because I wanted to bring it up because it seemed like it was a value check. Oh, this guy that said, I'm really considering trading Chuba Hubbard for Hampton. And I was thinking, who in their right mind would do Hubbard for Hampton?
Then a
Like,
redraft.
let's see if he specified. Because,
Is that in the league that we're in together?
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think
Oh,
that's
yeah,
redraft.
that's a redraft. Yeah. Okay. And then, like, I guess in a redraft sense, that makes sense. 'Cause the way I read it was, I was like, no way in hell anyone would do that in a dynasty league. That is obscene value you're losing. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, 'cause I swear I read these on my phone sometimes and I have to double check. And I'm just like, what is going on nowadays? 'Cause, like, Hampton's value, I think, is at a great level. Both Hampton and Genty, their teams had great passing offenses on their first starts. So it's like they're not pressured to do anything crazy. And like I think they're in great spots. They're going to show up later in the season. It's just they didn't do it week one. So it's like nothing to overreact about. So I'm holding them for sure.
All right, I can go into my next one here. Keon Coleman looked pretty good, I think. And I'm kind of buying the idea that he's a top 24 wide receiver the rest of the season. What do you guys think about that?
Why are you saying that? Just because they made a comeback against the Ravens, or is he an actual good receiver?
All right, yeah, I'll kind of dive into this. I think he's an actual good receiver. I understand that it was early in the game through three quarters, kind of the Bears Vikings discussion. He wasn't great, or he was fine. They just didn't pass it much. They ran it a lot early on, and once they started opening up the offense in passing, Keon Coleman was Josh Allen's guy, and that's something of why I am buying the idea that he can be a top 24 wide receiver is I think they have chemistry. And I think Josh Allen's going to keep going his way. Like last year, it was just they go to Keon Coleman on like fade routes, make him have a contested catch. Like that was his role. But with him being used in a variety of different ways, and I just think he's the best wide receiver. I mean, I think they all have roles. I think Khalil Shakir is a pretty good slot guy. I think Josh Palmer is a pretty good number two outside wide receiver. And like their tight ends are fine. I just think Keon Coleman can be that X wide receiver for them that they can kind of use all over the field. And if this chemistry keeps up, like yeah, I think he could really explode this year. And I'm hoping it happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he had an interesting week one. I thought the Bills played a magnificent game. I thought that you're right. I think Shakir and Palmer are more role guys. Keon Coleman might absolutely be that guy, but I don't know. There were some things that he did in his first year that I thought were a little lackadaisical. Obviously, what were his injuries year one? Do you remember?
He hurt his wrist and he went on IR, and when he came back, he was not great down the stretch.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. He had an injury that was kind of slowing him down, not slowing him down, but it just his production wise kind of affected him. Maybe that's it. I don't know. This past week though, he did have a pretty lucky catch in the end zone off a deflect, which I'll count that one as a fluke. But other than that, he definitely did look like he commanded attention out on the field. Kind of looked like that player you were hyping up out of college, where he was that basketball turned football prospect, but I don't know. I think I need to see more tape to convincingly buy into him right now. Like I have shares of him, so I don't need to buy into him. But for me, I'm holding, and I got to see more because we had the best game of the year with the Bills versus Ravens. And I don't think we're gonna. I don't know. The Bills defense does suck, so maybe they're gonna be in a lot of games like that. So that is a huge concern. So I don't know.
I'd buy that. I think Keon Coleman is probably the best receiver, and I'm like just like looking at the snap percentages that they have between the receivers, and Keon Coleman was on there 88% compared to Shakir 71 and Josh Palmer 70 or 62. So he is on the field the most out of all the receivers. So they are going to try to get him the ball the most, it seems like.
All right, that's valid. That's a good point, Kevin. That is a good point. He is the most attractive receiver on the field. God damn.
Yeah, the pass volume I think could be high with the defense. Like I feel like that is like hopefully is the thing because yeah, down the stretch that game was crazy. And yeah. But we will be back after a quick break. And we're back. I want to start this out talking about Tucker Kraft. This isn't week one, but the week two Thursday Night Football game just ended, and Tucker Kraft looks pretty good. I made a take this off season that I thought he was a guy that's going to go down in value, and I'd like to toss it to Logan because Logan's always been the podcast Tucker Kraft fanatic, and I think Tucker Kraft might just be a really good tight end. Like he looks pretty solid so far.
Thanks for the shout out, Nick. I've been the resident tight end sleeper guy on the podcast, and Tucker Kraft was one of the earliest, might have been one of the first people I ever mentioned on the podcast, tight end wise. I usually feel like every year I try to toss out some tight ends that I think that have potential fantasy football relevance. And Tucker Kraft was one of the earliest. He had like a nice relative athletic score, decent profile in college, stuff like that. But the biggest concern with him was he had to deal with Luke Musgrave, who just like ended up never being healthy, and Tucker Kraft started carving a role for himself. And I think he was a little bit overproductive last season, and I think that's when people got scared. But I'm almost positive when Nick was trying to be low, or we were doing our ADP draft, and Nick was saying Tucker Kraft's ADP is going to go higher or whatever, because obviously people are trying to overreact to his recent production. And I'm almost positive during that podcast I said, if you don't have Tucker Kraft already, you're too late. And I think I said that during that podcast, because
Yeah, you did. You did.
Tucker Kraft is a pretty raw prospect, and I think after seeing him tonight, he's a crazy good receiving tight end, and he knows how to get open. So, and another thing to add on to this, one of the dynasty leagues me and Nick are in, you have to get five trades done throughout the season. I have David Njoku, Tucker Kraft, Jonnu Smith, Mason Taylor, and I threw Tucker Kraft, showed interest. I put him on the trade block a couple of days ago. Got no interest. Right before the Packers and the Commanders set to kick off, traded Njoku away for a second round, instantly threw Tucker Kraft into my starting lineup. And I think I played that pretty well, unless Njoku is going to pop off this week. So hopefully I read that situation completely correct. Didn't get any Kraft people wanting to trade me, and I think I got lucky. Who knows?
Do you think he can be their number one option? I kind of think he can.
Like for all receivers?
For the Packers, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, receiving volume, not necessarily yards. Receiving volume, yeah. He didn't get a touchdown tonight, right?
He did.
He did. Ah, crap. I missed out on that one. I didn't see that one. I was going to say, because last week his touchdown was legendary. He was talking some smack immediately after he caught it. But yeah, I missed that one. Dang. Yeah. After hearing that news, I think you're correct on that analysis, probably.
Damn. Not bad, not bad. But I can go ahead and go with my first one here just because we have them listed and my guys, everything all good?
Sorry, I was just laughing at the numbers. I didn't see Tucker Kraft's complete numbers for tonight, and well, they're a lot better than what I was seeing. That is crazy. Six receptions, 124 yards, and a touchdown.
That's a
Yeah,
0.75 tight end premium league. Like, yeah.
I think I missed out on two of those catches. That's good work from him. Yeah, that's tight end to be reckoned with. So, wow.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good. But my first one here is I think JJ McCarthy just might be a dude in the NFL. Like, I get it. He struggled early, but I think he just might be different when it comes to mentally as a quarterback. Like, he just might be special. Like, Tom Brady, like, that's something that he had is that. Mentally, like he just had it. Like he always, like when it comes to leadership, not getting down when things go bad, like it's tough not to be impressed with the way that he handled his performance. Like he threw a pick six. You're just like, okay, well, this is just gonna spiral. Like they were playing without a left tackle, all the receivers were out besides Jefferson. It seemed like things were gonna spiral, and he led them on a comeback, threw two touchdown passes, ran for one. Like I'm pretty impressed with him, and I think he might be end up being a really good NFL quarterback, and I do think tools wise he's not as impressive as like a Caleb or a Drake May, but he just looks more together as a passer right now than those guys. Like those guys are a lot more inaccurate than JJ is right now. And JJ McCarthy is also the youngest quarterback in the NFL, like the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL. And yeah, he looked pretty good for his first start, but it is just his first start. And he also just missed practice today. Yeah, he's about to have a son. Pretty big week for him, I would say.
I agree with you. I think he's going to be really good. He has had really good coaches throughout his whole career to kind of teach him how to be a good quarterback. So I think he's been very fortunate in that. And
Right.
then, yeah, he, like you said, he had a great rough first half, but then like came back and had a phenomenal second half. And I do have to say, like, the coaching around him has helped him improve so much throughout his years.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit skeptical of him. I'm trying to pull up some of his stats right now. I thought that they played such a conservative first game around him, and they schemed him up pretty perfectly to what the college offense allowed him to do when he was healthy. Especially with the running play, because what did he have? Was it two touchdowns, one rushing?
Yes. He had a read
And then,
option, like 14-yard rushing touchdown.
yeah, and I just thought that that first half against the Bears, obviously they had a head coach for their defensive coordinator for the Bears. They got lucky with that one, but I thought they schemed that first half perfectly to, kind of pound on a rookie a little bit, get some sacks. He literally was losing his mind, I thought, a lot with all that pressure. And I think that his second half was amazing play. Don't get me wrong. I thought he played the second half amazingly and hit some really nice throws on open receivers. Obviously, I thought he missed a few throws. There was a, maybe that one was more on Justin Jefferson, but that's hard to say at this point. There was one that I thought was overthrown on, what was that? Man, I didn't watch the
That went
Vikings
through his
plays.
hand.
Yeah, went straight through JJ's hands, Jefferson's hands, I should say. You just can't say JJ nowadays.
True.
Went straight through his hands. I thought that one was slightly misthrown. It's kind of hard to put it on either one of them, though. Just, it happened. But I thought the pressure that was allowed, there, well, gosh, I don't even want to put it on JJ. They're missing Darisaw too, right?
Yeah.
That's another huge factor.
That hurt in the first half, big time, I thought.
That's why I wanted to put it on the pressure and awakening to the NFL, but missing Darisaw is a huge component to that, as well. Like, that guy is a beast. But I thought he handled the second half like a seasoned veteran, almost. Like he seemed very comfortable. O'Connell was calling offense very well, and it set him up for success. But I mean, obviously you can look at numbers like pressure to sack rate, and it says 50%. That's an alarming number. So I definitely do think analytically there's reasons to be concerned. And but overall they got the win. That's all you care about as a quarterback. Norm, if you're a good one, you care about winning,
Oh,
care
yeah.
about, getting to the finish, stuff like that. So maybe he's not going to be as fantasy relevant as I want him to be right now, but if he feels comfortable and can make plays, going towards the future, that's all that matters. So I'm excited to see him play more. Bears are a hard matchup. It's a rivalry. They played great first half, terrible second half, and he could capitalize on it. But I want to see a more complete team go against him because the Bears weren't it this week. So.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm not saying that it's just gonna be like perfect all the way through. Like I think he's gonna go through his ups and downs this year. Like I think he's gonna throw some picks, he's gonna get sacked. But the way that he handles himself, I just think he's gonna be a starting quarterback in this league. Like I just thought the way he handled himself was pretty impressive. And yeah, for a rookie, and I'm just betting on this guy. I think he's gonna have his lumps this year, but I like long term, I'm all in.
And like you said, to get through a pick six like that, and almost like a pick fumble, whatever that potentially could have been, and just keep moving on, treating every down like it's a new one. Like that's almost veteran like, so I'll give him that. He showed some poise in the pocket there, so.
Oh yeah. Yeah, did not get rattled. Go ahead with
Yeah,
the next one.
I can go here ne next with mine. I'm gonna go with Calvin Ridley. Obviously, I've got to be the resident Tennessee Titans fan, and I was discussing Nick with this, or to Nick about this earlier, where it was just like, honestly, week one, Cam Ward, first game. I was talking up Calvin Ridley in one of our past podcasts, and he has wide receiver one potential written all over him. But it's just like there was such a disconnect in the Titans offense this week. And I think there is not enough credit going to the Denver Broncos. I know that Callahan misplayed a lot of situations. There was a infamous catch where he did not challenge, where an elbow was inbounds, but I think that they misplayed this week one so hard that it might shake people off from thinking that the Titans can be a viable fantasy offense. And I think Cam Ward, honestly, in my opinion, made some crazy throws. Cam Ward looked a lot better than I thought he was going to be. Obviously, the Titans weren't showing out, doing anything crazy. And obviously, I'm just like, you know, grabbing for straws, stuff like that. But I thought Calvin Ridley can be a viable receiver one when he doesn't have Pat Surtain locking him down. And I think that's something people overlook in fantasy, is that there are these corners in the league that still hold down the lockdown potential. And Pat Surtain is one of them. And I think that Calvin Ridley was targeted, what, 8 times, got 4 catches, and not many yards. But I think outside of this game, when they don't have to go against Pat Surtain, Calvin Ridley is going to be a buy. Like right now, maybe people are going to value him as a low contender. He's an older receiver, but he might be able to carry you to that playoff spot that you want later in the season. So that's what I'm thinking.
I want to say I agree with you hesitantly, because Calvin Ridley does have the skills, but that offense just did not look good. And I know the Broncos are a good defense, but Calvin Ridley did have the most snaps on anybody in the wide receiver room, so that does help him a lot. But they just did not look great all around because, like you said, the Broncos' defense is just so good. So I would just kind of hold off potentially unless you can get a really good price for him. Hold a couple more weeks to see if they can figure it all together. And then go from there. If they figure it out, great buy. Otherwise, he just might be that whole offense just might not be good.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think the like I was leaning towards buying, but I do kind of wonder about this offense as well. I was big on him going into the year, but the one thing I forgot about Calvin Ridley is that, like Logan, we were talking about this earlier. He has a tendency to get locked down by top corners. Like if he's facing a good corner, like a good corner can take Calvin Ridley completely out of a game. And that is a concern with him. And also, like Ailik Aiyemaner, like looked pretty good, especially for a rookie, and he had 7 targets, which is pretty darn impressive. The other thing about Cam Ward, when it like you brought up JJ McCarthy's sacks, like Cam Ward had 6 sacks for 50 yards. Like that'd be pretty good wide receiving volume, like in stats. Like 50 yards, like that's almost 10 yards. Like that's over 9 yards a sack, which is pretty crazy. Like he's gotta find a way to get that down. But also they were playing the best defense in the league. Like the Broncos defense is so good. And he made some impressive throws that were dropped. Some ruled not a catch and the coach didn't advocate. Like that was kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, I would buy into Calvin Ridley, but I'm not like going all in for him, I would say.
Yeah, we also have to preface here, though. Cam Ward is a rookie. JJ McCarthy is in a second year. by the way.
Who's older?
It doesn't matter about the age. It matters about who's been in camps and not, because there is a huge adjustment to the NFL, and he has a great coach, Kevin O'Connell. I'll give him that. Like, especially just watching training camps, especially, like, they definitely learn a lot just going through the NFL system, and JJ McCarthy's been blessed to be in that position, I think, especially at his age. And I think Cam Ward is gifted to make some really accurate and cool throws on the run and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see if he can develop into an actual, dynasty level quarterback. But and he, I thought he threw some impeccable throws. So, but unfortunately, they played Denver week one, and yeah, give me someone else,
Yeah,
please.
that's a tough first matchup.
Yeah, no, it is. Oh.
Yeah, I feel like with Cam Ward that it's like pocket related with him, because that's when things went wrong for him prior to his last year, like just in the pocket, like if his initial read wasn't there, like he'd just scramble and he just can take a lot of long sacks and just try to escape the pocket. Like I don't think he's a crazy good athlete. And with this play style, I think he could need to be like a good athlete to where I'm like, that's my hesitancy with him. But in terms of throwing the ball, like, yeah, he's pretty impressive. He looked good there.
I think that's a good synopsis on him, though.
Yeah. But yeah, Kevin, you can go ahead with your next
My
one.
last one, Dak Prescott. I think he looked really good in the game. Unfortunately, his receivers really let him down. CeeDee Lamb had three unfortunate drops that he usually never has. One of them was a hard catch, so I'll give him that. But the other two, he definitely should not have dropped at all. And then there's a couple of other people who dropped some passes. But fantasy-wise, he didn't have very many points, so it doesn't look like he had a good game if all you worry about is fantasy stats. But if you saw what happened in the game, he looked really good. And so going forward, I don't see CeeDee Lamb keep dropping all these balls, and I'm sure he'll have more touchdowns going forward. So I think Dak right now is probably somebody you want to try to buy if possible.
Yeah, I personally 100% agree with that. Because the other thing is, Javonte Williams ran in two touchdowns, and I don't think he does that unless Jalen Carter gets kicked out of the game before it happened. Like they
Yeah.
just kind of took advantage of that, and they upgraded the receiving room. I think their defense has a potential to be kind of bad. Yeah, I'm buying into Dak this year. Like I think he looked good. I thought he was better than Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts's fantasy stats were a lot better. But going forward, I'm buying the idea that Dak's fantasy stats are going to go up.
Have you guys seen any trades for Dak in any of your leagues, by the way?
I have not.
Yeah, not recently.
That's something that I was kind of wondering, because like I wonder what his actual value is. Like, is he a first rounder, or what is he in dynasty value, you think?
I think I would trade late first for Dak for sure.
Are we talking Superflex or normal?
Yeah, Superflex Dynasty. What do you think he's worth?
Yeah, I do a late first because he's still pretty young. I mean, he's not super young, but he still has a lot of years left. And he's always, when he's not hurt, he's always been like a top 10 QB. I think he's always been a little underrated, but he does have those injury risks that come with somebody like that.
Just looking at a calculator, would you trade Dak Prescott for DK Metcalf?
Depends how your like team is set up.
I think I'd hold on to Dak. But like you said, depends on like do I have a lot of QBs in my lock in my on my bench? But I would probably hold on to Dak.
What about Dak for Jared Goff? Who would you rather have?
Me Dak.
That one's a hard one 'cause like Goff has looked better in the past years, but Goff did not look good in game one, or the whole Lions didn't look good. I'd probably still go with Dak.
All right, what about Dak for Justin Fields?
Did you guys see
Dude.
the stat that without Sean McVay or Ben Johnson as his play caller, Jared Goff is 3-17 in his career? Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's why I was like, well, Nick might mention that one. What about Justin Fields? We love Justin Fields on this podcast.
I'd rather have Dak.
Dak. Okay.
More security.
I just want to see one more good game from Fields, and then I'd probably go with Fields, but like for now, I'd probably stick with Dak.
I think the craziest thing ever was that year that Dak unfortunately got injured. He was like, what was he pacing on to be? What was it, like 6,000 yards?
Yeah.
Like, do you remember that season where he started off just slinging it?
Yeah, he had a
And
500-yard game that year.
yeah. So he's like one of those people that people need to know for trivia later in life, where where he has like an insane stretch of games where I think people just kind of rag on him a little bit too hard because he plays for the Cowboys. He replaced Tony Romo. And he's been injured a few times. He's got the stickers on his uniform. Maybe people are just trying to find any reason to hate him, but when he's healthy and he has good receivers, which he does now, I think that as long as they're catching the balls, he is going to be a productive quarterback. And Javonte just kind of surprised us a little bit more than we thought week one. And he's a hold for sure. I've got trade offers for Dak in one of my leagues, and I'm just like, get out of here. Like, I'm holding this guy. Like, this guy is a fantasy asset, and I want to be a part of those like 300, 400 yard games with multiple touchdowns, and I think he's completely capable. I think the Cowboys have surprisingly built an offense for him, just not the defense. So I think that helps us out a little bit more on fantasy, so.
I would agree. Right. Any other players you guys want to toss out? Any other takes from week one?
Ready for week two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's bring on week two. Also, another thing is just like it's weird to me that Nick convinced me in my redraft leagues to draft Jordan Addison in multiple leagues. So I'm kind of waiting, let the time go on. So we'll see what happens in the future.
I have my fair share of him too, because JJ McCarthy played all preseason with Jordan Addison, because Justin Jefferson was out, Jalen Naylor was out, TJ Hawkinson was out for a lot of it. Adam Thielen just got on the team. Like, their chemistry is pretty solid. I'm excited for Addison to be back and for their offense with Addison, and especially if they have a good run game. I'm definitely excited for that. Thank you very much for coming on, Kevin. We
No,
definitely
it's a
enjoyed
good
it.
time. It's a good time. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. But I think that about sums it up for today. You can follow him on Twitter at ProTalkLogan. Follow me at PTNick32. Kevin?
Don't worry about me.
All right. Sounds good. But until next time, Dino Talk.